Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
It's a MEATEATER podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Brody, Giannis, Chester, Randall, Seth, Chili, and Talon. Talon, this is your first time on Trivia. Tell folks what you do here at Meat Eater.
All right, yes, my name is Talon. This is my first day at Meat Eater.
Literally first day. You've been here, what, like 2 hours?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I have no idea what I'm getting into. Anyway, I'm an intern here. I'm working in sales administration with Colin, and I go to Montana State.
Welcome.
Did you know that we have, like, podcasts here? Like, is that something
I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
I did
you're not aware of this show?
I am.
Okay.
But I didn't know I was walking into a podcast today.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at player success rate in each category. On average, players get hunting questions correct 41% of the time. Fishing questions correct 38% of the time, conservation questions correct 43% of the time, and cooking questions correct 45% of the time. So by those stats, the fishing category is hardest and cooking category is easiest. Thoughts? Does that seem right to you, Yanni?
I'm just surprised that when you listed them just now that you didn't, like, put them in order.
That's what I was wondering, too.
Of easiest to hardest. Or, like, that confused me. But, sure. Yeah, I would have thought that we would have done best in the hunting category.
Best in the hunting. You do third best in the hunting category. Yeah. And like we've talked about before, ChatGPT does the worst in the hunting category. So you have a leg up there, but everything else, ChatGPT would whoop you.
Do you know if we have the most like hunting questions? Like what's the question or the topic you ask most often?
I think conservation, a lot of things that go to the fringe of the Meat Eater universe just get lumped under conservation. So if I had to guess, it would be like 40% of the questions are conservation, which would be a little overrepresented there. And here's our new segment, FAQs. If you have a question for our crew related to Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line FAQ. We are doing two of them this week.
I'd like to add, though, that don't feel like 10 other people have to also send in the question that you have, because last time on this show, Spencer picked one where only one person had asked this question. So it wasn't really a frequently asked question.
Yeah, the first question.
Segment AQ.
The first question is from Tyler Elvey. He says, I feel your choice of subject line is uninspired. At the very least, it should be IFAQ for infrequently asked questions. You know what, Tyler? You're exactly right. That's better. So going forward, we're going to call this IFAQs. If you have a question for the crew about trivia Write trivia at themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Does that satisfy you, Yanni?
Love it.
Now, here's our other question from Jason White. Do you use the Shelby Index to influence the questions asked? If a Shelby Index is too high or low, do you make changes? Short answer is yes. Long answer is that the Shelby Index is when I ask my questions to my wife, who is not a subject matter expert on hunting, fishing, conservation, or cooking, and I see how she does. I realized early on in the show that she gets about half as many right as our winner. Do I change questions based on if it's too high or too low? Yes. If she only gets one right, I will swap in a question that I think is easier that she would get right, or I would change the phrasing of a question. If there was a question about a state and I'm looking for the answer to be like Maine, maybe the question originally was just like, what state, yada, yada. I would then change it to like, what New England state to give our players a better chance. So yes, I do change the questions based on if the Shelby Index is too high or too low. I shoot for a Shelby Index that's between 3 and 5. I think that makes for a good game of trivia. Now we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a question about bangers and mash, which I declared to be a St. Paddy's Day staple, but we had about a dozen listeners write in saying they were Irish and that this dish wasn't part of their cultural heritage at all. Still, I found parts of the internet that disagree, calling bangers and mash, a widely popular pub dish in Ireland, the perfect Irish comfort food and a St. Patrick's Day tradition. But I'll admit that those who wrote in weren't totally wrong, and that it's more appropriate to describe bangers and mash as a British dish instead of an Irish one. So that's a change I'll make when this question appears in our next board game. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 5, so I'm putting us on perfect game alert. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
It's so nice to get an uninterrupted intro.
You like that?
Yeah.
What was so funny over here, Yanni? We had a few giggles.
I was just fired up.
Okay. He was feeling the
intro.
I was in my head wondering
if Taylan had ever even heard that intro.
Never.
So you've never listened to this show.
Well, usually we don't get to hear it if Cal's in the room.
Question one. The topic is public lands, and as always, the first question will be multiple choice. And this first great question comes to us via Samantha McCann. Which of these is not a real land designation within the National Park Service? Is it National Fossil Bed, National Lakeshore, National Historic Trail, or National Military Park? Which of these is not a real land designation within the National Park Service? That means 3 of them are real, 1 of them is not. Is it National Fossil Bed, National Lakeshore, National Historic Trail, or National Military Park? Yanni looking around the room, surveying his competitors. Yanni, what did you observe there?
Nothing other than Randall had already had an answer down by the time I looked over at him.
You confident, Randall?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good.
Now you know you can mess with Yanni. You can do some extra writing on your board.
Yeah, just tap away at
that. That's right. You can make it look
like
you're
thinking. Maybe I'm erasing now, maybe I'm not.
Your 4 choices are National Fossil Bed, National Lakeshore, National Historic Trail, National Military Park. Randall?
I'm messing with myself.
Brody, do you have an answer?
It's an honest group.
I've got an answer, but I want to write 2 down.
We don't know about Taylan yet.
That's true.
All right.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Lakeshore. Chester saying Military Park. Chili saying Military Park. Randall saying Fossil Bed. Taylan saying Historic Trail. Giannis saying Military Park. Brody saying Fossil Bed. The correct answer is National Fossil Bed.
Brody
and Randall got it right. An example of a national lakeshore is the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore in Michigan. An example of a national historic trail is the Oregon National Historic Trail that passes through 6 states. An example of a national military park is Gettysburg National Military Park in Pennsylvania. The Park Service does not the Park Service does protect some fossil beds, like the Hagerman fossil beds in Idaho and Florissant fossil beds in Colorado, but those are national monuments. Question two, the topic is hunting. This deer hunting arcade game, which uses green and orange guns for controllers, was inspired by Nintendo's Duck Hunt. This deer hunting arcade game, which uses green and orange guns for controllers, was inspired by Nintendo's Duck Hunt. We seem to have a confident room besides Yanni and Chester. Seth, do you know this?
Taylan, you know this?
I think so, yeah.
We've got an idea. We had an arcade game in my apartment building with green and orange guns.
Okay.
Oh.
So if I can remember the name right.
Have you played this, have you played this game, you think?
Yes, I have. I played the game I'm thinking of, but I don't know if I'm remembering the name quite right.
Seth,
we'll
have
see.
You played this game?
Oh, yeah.
Are you good at it, you think?
I'm all right.
Are the guns pump right. action guns?
Not going to give you any hints, Brody. I will tell you.
I mean, that is not a, that's not a hint.
That they are green and orange.
Oh, but speaking of a funny little thing like that, yesterday I was trying to find the games on streaming TV. I'm still to the point with all that technology where I'm like, I don't know. I'll just check them all and hopefully it'll pop up somewhere. But there was a movie just on and playing, some random movie that just comes on the smart TV. It was some kind of a horror flick, and I think it was called The Triangle, maybe? That rings a bell. They were on a big boat of some sort.
It's Triangle of Sadness. It's not a horror film. I'm just clarifying for you.
Just putting Yanni in his place.
It's not a horror film. There's a dude with a mat with a bag over his head chasing a young woman.
That's the romantic lead.
Woman around with a shotgun.
Yeah, that sounds like a different
shooting
movie.
Other women. I just caught it when he'd already shot a couple. And then he's chasing this one, and she puts up a good
fight.
Did
it take place in the Bermuda Triangle?
But I only caught a little bit of it, and I just want to tell you about this specific part, is when I noticed that he's reloading his, I believe it was an over-under, and he shoots, and then you hear...
you got to put that sound in. You gotta, it's movie magic.
Yeah. It's like the elk bugle during wintertime in a film.
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer for the deer hunting arcade game with green and orange gun controllers? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Big Buck Hunter. Chester saying Buck
so
Hunter.
Close.
Chili saying Big Buck Hunter. Randall saying Big Buck Hunter. Taylan saying Big Game Hunting. Giannis saying Big Game Hunter. Brody saying Big Buck Hunter.
Dude, I erased Big. I just hate this game.
Well, maybe he's got to reveal the answer, maybe.
The correct answer is Big Buck Hunter. One word away.
Sorry, Chester.
Do you hate the arcade game or the or trivia?
I love the arcade game.
Big Buck Hunter came out in 2000. The goal of the game is to shoot moving bucks without hitting a doe. Every fall is the World Championship Big Buck Hunter Tournament, where the 128 best players from around the globe compete for a trophy and $20,000.
Really does a good job of teaching kids ethical hunting, that game.
And you can tell no real hunters play it because they always hold the World Championship Tournament like the first week in November or the last week of October. Brody, I'm surprised you were so quick to answer. How did you know that one?
Oh, I mean, in college, I used to throw money into that thing. Really, 2000? I feel it. I guess it was in college then, but I feel like it was around back then. Anyway.
They ought to make a big doe hunter.
I'm sure I...
That's good. You could target... You could corner that market, Seth.
Question... You get disqualified for shooting bucks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Question three.
A bunch of meat tags.
Yeah, call it shoulder season. Yeah, shoulders. Question three. The topic is foraging. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Stan Wishman for sending this great question. Stan is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win the listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. This nine-letter tree has leaves that are used to make gumbo, bark that's used to make syrup, and roots that are used to make root beer. Your answer should have nine letters. This nine-letter tree has leaves that are used to make gumbo, bark that's used to make syrup, and roots that are used to make root beer.
That first one.
It should have nine letters. Do those letters need to be like in the correct order? As in, like,
no, you don't have to spell it correctly.
If that's so, you could just like add question. Or take away a letter.
You misspell it with eight letters.
Well, there's a correct answer. The nine letters is a hint. You could spell it however you'd like. Yanni was one of the quickest to come up with an answer. You know this one, Yanni. You know a tree with nine letters.
Yes.
Okay. Brody, do you know this one?
Yeah.
Brody and Yanni and Randall.
I would have had a different answer had there not been the clue.
Okay. Randall, you know this one.
I believe so. The first thing that came to mind immediately had 12 letters. And then I realized I was thinking of an entirely different use for plants. So I think I'm on the right track now.
This nine-letter tree has leaves that are used to make gumbo, bark that's used to make syrup, and roots that are used to make root beer. Brody's using his fingers and toes over here.
The gumbo thing is throwing me off, though.
Yeah, the gumbo things.
Our room appears to be stumped, except for Randall, Yanni, and Brody.
Bark used to make syrup?
That's right.
I learned something fascinating about fire-adapted oaks the other day. Did you know that their leaves, the way they're shaped and the way they curl up on the ground when they're dry, is actually to promote fire burning through them?
Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. Are you folks without an answer going to come up with an answer, you think?
Nope.
Negative.
Seth?
I'm going to hate myself when I hear the answer.
Okay.
I know it.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth, Chester, and Chili without an answer. Randall saying sassafras. Talon saying sassafras. Yanni saying sassafras. Brody saying sassafras. They got it. The correct answer is sassafras.
You know, I did.
What do you got?
I wrote down sassafras, spelled it wrong, and it wasn't adding up.
Oh, no. Were you
just
missing an
throw,
S? What,
throw
what
a random letter in there.
What was the issue?
I think I was, yeah. It didn't come out to the right. Yeah,
I initially wrote eucalyptus, and so the nine-letter thing really helped me.
Sassafras is a native tree that's found in almost every state east of the Mississippi River. Native Americans found that it had many medicinal uses, such as treating skin diseases and stomach ailments. Today, its dried leaves are used in gumbo and other soups. Its roots are used to make root beer and tea, and its bark is used to make syrup, infused honey, and kombucha.
Yeah, I think it's leaves when they're ground up and put in gumbo. It's called file. F-I-L-E.
Exactly. Oh, exactly right.
Good. Thank you, Phil.
With the tidbit.
Some actual flavor text.
That was
from
tasty.
Bill.
Yeah.
Question four. The topic is fishing. This type of topwater bass lure, which resembles a spinner bait, creates a bubble trail when retrieved. We have a confident Brody, Seth. Uncapped his marker with some confidence. I'm guessing he's going to get this one. This type of topwater bass lure, which resembles a spinnerbait, creates a bubble trail when retrieved.
Really satisfying lure to fish, even if you don't catch anything.
There you go. There's a hint.
I've caught a few bucket mouths on it.
Seth, do you have any of these in your tackle box?
Yeah. Well, I have. Currently, I have like one, maybe two.
Have you ever used one in Montana?
No, I think the ones I have are still in the packaging.
Okay, Pike like them.
There's a hint for Chester. Chester, do you know this one?
I mean, I think so, but okay. I have just
you know the amount of
given up.
He's
here.
Lost
the
all
amount
confidence.
Of good largemouth fishing in Montana is minimal, but Brody said they work for Pike too.
This type of topwater bass lure, which resembles a spinnerbait, creates a bubble trail when retrieved.
Speaking of Pike, I was talking to a fellow that was going to fish the Stagecoach Reservoir ice fishing tournament this past weekend, and he said now there's a mandatory kill on all of the...
They're at war against those things, man.
Yeah, but now it's not only Pike. Now there's, I guess there's walleye
there was
up in there, and then...
Smallmouth, probably.
Yeah, and smallmouth.
Mm,
yeah.
Someone doing the
Lord's work. They got to keep
doing
those stalker
rainbows
alive, man.
Someone's doing the Lord's work down there.
That's
Colorado.
What I said. I'm like, oh, so you can protect
they're
these stalker
they're global warming
rainbows?
Proofing the lake.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying buzzbait. Chester saying buzzbait. Chili saying swivel lure. Randall saying buzzbait. Talon without an answer. Yanni and Brody saying buzzbait. They got it. The correct answer is buzzbait. Buzzbaits first hit the market in 1976. Rick Klon brought early fame to the lure when he modified a spinnerbait and ran it just under the surface of the water to win the 1976 and 1977 Bassmaster Classics. Buzzbaits use a combination of sound, vibration, and flash to get a bass's attention. Question 5. The topic is conservation. Name 5 of the 9 states that have more cattle than people. There are 9 of them. You need to name 5. Name 5 of the 9 states that have more cattle than people. Randall, how we doing over there?
I think I'm doing all right.
You think you could get 9 of them if you had to?
No. I mean, I could take a swing at it, but I think that would be tough.
Name 5 of the 9 states that have more cattle than people. Brody seems as though he's torn between a few. 5 of the 9 states. Seth with the quickest one to come up with an answer. Seth, how do you feel about your 5 states?
You know, I got 3 of them.
Was it harder to come up with 5? Like, did you feel like you had too many or not enough?
No, I feel like I had too many.
Too many, okay.
Yeah.
I'm really second guessing myself.
5 of the 9 states that have more cattle than people.
What's throwing me off, there's a couple states I thought would have more, but they also have, like, pretty big cities.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting some pushback from Brody on how is this conservation.
Well, I was...
I've kind of given up on that argument, man.
Okay, good.
Well, I guess there's some states I can think... I don't know, this might be too much of a clue.
Yeah, don't say it.
Okay.
It is.
I would guess I know what you're going to say as well. Again, we're looking 5 of the 9 states. Chester, how do you feel about Chili's answers? You agree?
Why you should put 5 down, not 7. If you get one of them wrong.
Yeah, you're going to get it wrong if you
list. Go with the 5 you're most sure of, buddy.
Make sure that letter in the bottom left one is real clear.
Also, we've had an issue in the past with people doing abbreviations that they then got wrong.
Yeah.
So you should maybe write out the entire state. I think we had Cal who thought he was answering Missouri, but did Mississippi instead.
Oh, that's so tough.
Maybe write out the whole name. What's the tough part, Brody?
Oh, I mean, tough shit for him.
Wrong move.
Doesn't know his abbreviations.
Is everybody ready?
9 states. Wow.
5
That's
of
more
the
than
9.
I would have guessed.
Oh, Seth going back. Everyone has 5 answers.
There's going to be a couple surprisers, I bet.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Brody, this is your last chance to change.
I'm good.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Montana, Wyoming, Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota. Chester saying Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Nebraska. Chili saying South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Utah. Randall saying Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. Talon saying Montana, Wyoming, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota. Yanni saying Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, Nebraska, South Dakota. Brody saying North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Kansas, South Dakota. The 9 states are Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Wyoming. I think everybody but Chili had that one right.
Well done, Room. Like shit.
Chili hat is Utah looking like Vermont.
I thought some like states Florida was going to sneak
you had
in.
It,
I
know. You were
according
I know.
To the USDA, South Dakota has the most lopsided ratio of cattle to people in the country. They say there are 3.5 million head of cattle compared to 900,000 people, meaning there are 4 cattle per person in the state. On the other end of the spectrum is New Jersey, who has about 50,000 cattle compared to 9 million people, meaning there are 180 people per cow in the state.
Where did Florida fall?
I don't know. I only saw the top of the list in the very bottom, but it must have been somewhere in between. You got to think about all the cities they have there.
I was curious about feedlots.
Orlando, Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Iowa was initially on my list, and then I was like, how do you count? I don't have an exhaustive knowledge of the cattle industry, but a lot of cattle are moving in and out, right? So I don't know.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Very Give us analytical. A scoreboard.
He didn't
update.
Want to entertain your discussion.
No, man. Nobody thought that was a good
Well,
remark.
I don't have an answer for you, Randall, but Iowa is up there.
No, Randall, I took note.
Good thought, Randall, but no one cares.
Everybody is on the board. We've got Chili with 1 point.
You're welcome.
Talen and Chester have 2 points apiece. Seth and Giannis have 3, and tied up in first place, they both have a perfect game, are Brody and Randall.
What's new?
They have 5, Phil?
Yes.
Thinking more about feedlots, I... only joking.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Do you like free protein for a whole year? Well, deals this good are hard to come by at the grocery store. I, at home, well, I got 2 freezers, but you know what I'm saying. I like to have a freezer stocked full of stuff. I like feeling prepared, man. When I come home and it's time to make dinner, I like to go in. I got all my proteins lined up in there. Just makes me feel good about stuff. And with ButcherBox, you'll always be prepared with meat in the freezer. It means fewer trips to the grocery store. Delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. You get a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. You'll get exclusive deals as a member, too. Sign up at ButcherBox.com/MeatEater and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free-for-a-year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free and every order for a year. So every box you get has that in it free for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure you use code meateater to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, meaning you put them on, they feel great. Little or no break-in, period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Just ask my buddy Chili, who's been slipping around in his Tecova boots, talking about how great he feels in them. He loves them.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable. They're very fashionable. and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go around Bozeman.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Question six. The topic is woodsmanship. This is considered the sister publication of Field and Stream.
Come on, Spencer.
This is considered the sister publication of Field and Stream. We have a very confident room. This may be a 100%er. Ooh. I feel like maybe your confidence, Brody, is going to give Yanni a hint who seemed unsure of his answer.
Whatever.
You just made me think.
I got all kinds of problems with this question.
Okay. Would you like to talk about them now or later?
Nope, later.
Okay. Seth, you didn't like Chester's answer?
Well, Chester's answer just made me think real hard.
Okay.
Because I thought...
But I'm going to change it.
I thought I knew it. And then Chester wrote down an answer, and I just happened to look over there.
Cheating. The passive voice in this is just killing me, Spencer. I thought maybe this would be like, according to so-and-so. Mm. Just, this is considered.
It's very
definitive. You think it's too matter-of-fact?
Well, I just, you know... This is
how do you feel about that one?
Now you're making
this
me
is
think
considered the best
fast food burger.
What exactly does sister magazine mean? Like they have the same parent?
I never said magazine.
It would mean like who is Giannis's sister hunter? Steven Ranella, like someone that's closely associated with you.
Stefan Ranella.
Does everybody have an answer? Now we had Seth tell Chester that his answer made him rethink his answer, which made Chester change his answer, and then Seth said, "Now you're making me think even harder." So,
is this our first case of like documented cheating going on?
Well, I'm not changing. I wrote down an answer previous to looking at Chet's, and I'm not changing it.
If you guys will notice, I haven't really said anything.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying outdoor life. Chester saying guns and ammo. Chili saying outdoor life. Randall saying outdoor life. Taylan without an answer. Yanni and Brody saying outdoor life. The correct answer is outdoor life. Now, if you'll go to Field and Stream's website, Brody, I was looking at one of their editor's bios, and it said, so-and-so used to work for our sister publication, Outdoor Life.
No, I don't have a, like, I agree. Like, I have no problem with the sister publication.
Okay.
I just think it's way too easy.
Way too easy. We had two people in here get it wrong, though.
Do they actually even publish these things anymore?
Outdoor Life published their first magazine in 1898. Some of its most famous contributors include Teddy Roosevelt, Amelia Earhart, and Babe Ruth. In 2018, the magazine announced they'd go from doing 9 issues a year to 4. And in 2021, they announced they'd cease printing the magazine and would go fully digital. So there you go, Brody. Fully
my first one digital. I wrote down was Fur Fishing Game.
Sorry, Chester.
That's wrong.
What would have been the third answer on your list?
Probably Outdoor Life.
Sports Field.
Question 7. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Joe Scaglione. The Great Blank Desert is a region that's mostly made up of Nevada and Utah where water doesn't drain into any ocean. Seems as though Brody and Randall will keep the perfect game going. The Great Blank
Only
Desert
this is an easy question.
Is a region that's mostly made up of Nevada and Utah where water doesn't drain into any ocean. Brody and Randall are the only ones to come up with an answer thus far. Yanni, how you feeling about your thought process over there? Have you narrowed it down to anything?
No. No, I'm just waiting for that word to pop into my head.
Okay.
Now, do my eyes deceive me?
The number of spaces, it's always 5 spaces every single time. It doesn't matter if it's 10-letter word, a 3-letter word, or a 5-letter
word. Oh, I'm glad I
word.
Learned that on this question. Otherwise, it might have thrown me before. I just haven't been paying attention to what other people are saying,
it's
I guess.
It's always going to be 5 spaces dedicated to the blank.
I would have thought I was really onto something if this had popped up on a different question.
The Great Blank Desert is a region that's mostly made up of Nevada and Utah, where water doesn't drain into any ocean. Chester, do you have an answer?
I do.
How do you feel about your answer?
Not good.
Okay. Brody and Randall
I'm not,
are our only folks.
I'm not. Like, confident. I'm going with what popped into my head. Okay. But there's something else that is confusing me.
If I get this wrong, I'll probably argue it.
Okay. Good to know.
I might argue with him.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer?
I think
if
I get it wrong, you're getting it wrong.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Moab, Chester saying Salt Lake, Chili without an answer, Randall saying Basin, Talon saying Basin, Giannis saying Basin, Brody saying Basin. The correct answer is Basin. The room did pretty well.
Where's Burning Man? Is that?
That's the, what is it, the Great Black Rock, something like that. I don't know.
California.
Did you have an answer?
Nevada.
The Great Nevada. Basin Nevada. Desert is the coldest of North America's four major deserts. Besides Nevada and Utah, it extends into portions of Oregon, Idaho, and California. All of the precipitation that falls there either drains into saline lakes, is absorbed into the soil, or disappears via evaporation. It's estimated that 80% of the region is public land.
The Red Desert? Great Divide Basin. Were you worried that might confuse
people?
No,
I wasn't. Because does the Red Desert go into Nevada?
No, I'm saying it's a different place.
Mm.
But the Great Divide Basin is where the Continental Divide splits and water doesn't go anywhere in there.
Okay. Well, maybe if I had two blanks and I left you the opportunity to say.
I was just wondering.
I was not worried about that, Brody. Question 8. The topic is fishing. What Nordic country is the headquarters of Rapala? Confident Randall, again, and Brody, and Seth, Chester, and Chili. What Nordic country is the headquarters of Rapala?
I should know this, too.
Why should you know this?
I don't know. My ancestors.
And over there, they say Rapala, don't they?
Yeah, you hear it all sorts of different ways.
Yeah, I think it's... technically, Rapala.
Mm-hmm. What Nordic country is the headquarters of Rapala? Chili, you know this one.
No.
Okay. You know some Nordic countries.
I do. All right. I am Norwegian, so I should probably know.
What Nordic country is the
boys
headquarters
make some good lures.
Of Rapala?
Jigging wraps, my favorite.
Just second guessing myself now.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying Sweden.
Oh,
Chester saying Canada. Chili saying Sweden. Randall saying Finland. Talon saying Switzerland. Yanni saying Sweden. Brody saying Finland. The correct answer is Finland. The perfect game continues. Rapala was founded by a man in Finland who worked as a lumberjack in the winter and fisherman in the summer. His wife was in charge of the bait, which she gathered from a nearby forest. On a typical day, she'd walk 20 miles just hauling minnows, which became unsustainable as their family grew. That's when her husband created his first lure, which was made of cork and covered in candy bar wrappers. For more on this story, read Kubi Brown's article on themeateater.com. called The Lure That Changed Fishing.
My favorite knife for filleting little perch.
Really?
And yeah, the Finlander from Rapala.
Oh, wow.
It's a little one.
That's a powerful.
Costs like 10 bucks.
Yeah. Doesn't it? Sometimes you can get the combo, right? Where it has a little, the plastic sheath has a little side compartment where that little knife is
super
in there.
Soft steel, so you can just sharpen it so easy.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, 10 bucks, something like that. It's a great knife.
Phil, we have two questions left. Who is left in the game?
It's down to Brody and Randall. They've got a perfect game with 8 points. Chester, Chili, Giannis, Seth, and Talon cannot make up the distance.
Spencer, I've got a proposal for you.
Uh-huh.
You think, like, we can kind of team up on these guys ever?
I don't think so.
Why not?
But what I will do for you, Chester, is someday we're going to do a game in here where it's only people who have never won. So we're going to have an opportunity.
Well, I technically won
won.
Chester, we will still invite you. You won the Billings live show. It was a 4-question game of trivia that was specific to Montana. Chester took the victory there.
Yeah, doesn't count, Chester.
When we do that game, Chester, we'll give you a seat.
Feel
in the
bad
room.
About yourself.
I want to play ChatGPT.
You want to play against it?
Yeah, I think that's the inverse. I think we should just have a ChatGPT round.
There you go. Question 9. The topic is hunting. This man owns a Colorado outfitting business, hosts Easton Bowhunting TV, and was the first person to complete the North American Super Slam with a recurve. Brody knows the answer. Randall is slow to come up with anything.
Oh, I know it. I'm just
this could separate them.
No.
No, it won't, he says. This man owns a Colorado outfitting business, hosts Easton Bowhunting TV, and was the first person to complete the North American Super Slam with a recurve. Yanni, you got this one right?
I believe so.
Brody, you have this one right?
Pretty sure.
Brody thinks he'll be 9 for 9 after this question.
I'm feeling confident for once.
Chester is going to get this one right. Randall, what do you got?
I know this answer.
Okay.
I'm at a total loss.
I see his face. I could draw him.
I'm panicking.
He looks worried.
I could draw a portrait
of him. I can picture like all the photos of these animals that have been killed.
Okay. Tell us his name though, Randall. That's what you need to do.
Can we take a pause?
This man owns a Colorado outfitting business, hosts Easton Bowhunting TV, and was the first person to complete the North American Super Slam with a recurve. Brody, do you think Randall actually knows this one?
Oh, yeah. He's just not going to think of it, though.
Do you see how red my face is turning? Yep, I'm panicking.
We're all
right
watching.
Now. This is horrible. Oh, God.
So close.
God.
His speaking cadence is sped up.
Brody's just over here chill.
Seth, you're still blank. Are you waiting on me?
I can see his face.
Uh-huh. Oh, you can see the hunter's face, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Talen, do you feel like Colin he wasn't prepared today for you to show up, and then he said, oh, you should go join the podcast studio.
Well, he came in and he was like, oh, I want to go play some trivia. And I was like, I mean, yeah, sure. First day, whatever. I thought it was just going to be a room of people, you know, not a podcast. And then we walk in and I was like, oh, wow. Awesome.
Colin used to play with us. How come he hasn't been playing lately?
He's on an invite coming up. Colin will be back in the room.
It's because he moved to Townsend and doesn't come
to the office. Colin lives in Townsend?
Oh, yeah. Randall.
That's crazy.
Come on, buddy.
He unzipped the jacket.
I think time is up.
Randall, we don't need to give you your heart medicine, dude.
Randall unzipped his coat and he wiped away some sweat from his forehead.
You got to pull in some of that Giannis energy. And what you do is you wait 4.5 minutes and then it'll just come to you.
Breathe, buddy.
Question 9.
I don't even want to be in here when you read the answer.
We're running out of time, Randall.
I like to know that he's fallible, you know? I actually woke
Randall
up,
or this hunter?
Randall.
Okay.
I don't know if I woke up thinking about it, but at some point in the last 24 hours when I knew I was coming to this show and Randall was going to be playing, I was thinking, what an advantage his dissertation work was. I mean, imagine, he literally read thousands of articles from like 5 decades.
Not about this guy.
even like the work he's been doing with the meat eater history stuff.
This is enough.
Randall, we're almost out of time.
What's this almost? We've been out of time for 5 minutes.
Bill, play the buzzer sound.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth without an answer. Chester saying Fred Eichler. Chili saying Fred Bear. Randall without an answer. Talen without an answer. Yanni saying Eichler. Brody saying Fred Eichler. He got it. The correct answer is Fred Eichler. Randall, is that the answer you were searching for?
It is.
Eichler was part of some of the best hunting commercials of all time when Easton declared him the most interesting bow hunter in the world. Play the clips, Phil.
The state of Colorado had a season dedicated just for him. elk gather to watch him rut. He coined the phrase, tastes like chicken. He is the most interesting bow hunter in the world.
I don't bow hunt every day, but when I do, I choose Easton Arrows. Shoot straight, my friends.
Really? Best hunting commercial ever made?
Oh, there's one more. No, he had like a whole series, like five of them.
In his wallet. He's the life of hunting camps he's never even visited. When a tree falls in the woods, he can hear it. He is the most interesting bow hunter in
oh,
the world.
That one right there.
That's a famous one.
Yeah.
I don't bow hunt every day.
Randall, do those commercials make you feel better or worse?
Easton Arrows.
You know,
the shoot straight, my friends.
I'm indifferent to the commercials.
Okay.
I mean, it's fun. I hadn't seen that one, so it adds a bit of levity to the moment. But 2024 is over.
Okay.
We're not 2025.
You know what I like about that dude is he seems to have fun. Seems to enjoy himself.
Chester, what was your encounter like with Fred Eichel?
I'm pretty sure I just met him at, I think it was the ATA show, which is the Archery Trade Association show when I was building recurve bows. And he just kind of had some interest in the bows we built.
We're on to question 10. We have Randall with one wrong answer, Brody with the perfect game. We would need Brody to get this wrong, Randall to get this right, to go to overtime. The topic is cooking. This last great question comes to us via my wife, Shelby Huber. According to Taste of Home, asking for medium rare blank is how you order a steak that's between medium rare and medium. Brody, slow to come up with an answer. According to Taste of Home, asking for medium rare blank is how you order a steak that's between medium rare and medium. Taylin, did you come up with an answer? Mm-hmm. Do you think you know this one?
Yes.
Okay. Taylin has it right. Seth is joining her with an answer. Brody and Randall have yet to write anything down.
Taylin, do you consider yourself a foodie?
I'm not writing anything until I see Randall
write
something.
Well, I worked in restaurants up until this point.
Oh.
Namely, Riverside Country Club and downtown Bozeman. Lots of steakhouses around the state, so.
Don't give any hints, but had you heard someone order a steak like this before?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is about the one thing that'll get a plate thrown at you in the kitchen.
Seriously. don't do this.
According to Taste of Home, asking for medium rare blank is how you order a steak that's between medium rare and medium. Randall, how do you feel about your answer?
I feel fine.
Okay.
Again,
we need Brody to get this wrong and Randall to get this right to go to overtime, or Brody could just get it wrong and have the second perfect game of 2024.
I
didn't even know this is a thing that exists.
Yeah, I never even heard of this.
Phil,
yeah.
Had you heard of this?
Never.
Okay.
I've waited tables for a while too.
I would have assumed it was just sort of like a medium rare, and like a noise and a hand gesture.
That's the answer.
Medium rare and a little more?
Yeah.
Seth, have you ever heard of this? Or did you just
No, I made something up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Randall changing his answer, according to Taste of Home, asking for medium rare blank is how you order a steak that's between medium rare and medium.
Can I have a question. Do you think in the future there could be hash marks for like the fill in the blank questions? There can be enough spaces for
no.
Why not?
I don't want to give you that hint. When I want to give you that hint, I'll tell you like this 9-letter tree.
Okay.
If I feel like the question is too hard, that's a little bit extra that I'll give you.
I think this question
is too hard.
We could use a little.
Okay. Brody wants his perfect game. Taylin may be the only person who gets this one
gets
right.
Gets mad at Spencer when it's too easy.
One thing about that sassafras question is like the most common thing that you use sassafras for is like tea.
We talked about that in the follow-up factoid.
I know, but if you would have put it in the question.
Well, that'd have been tea.
All the other shit didn't make sense.
We had 4 of 7 people get it right, which I feel good about that.
Root beer, Seth. Root beer. Jeez.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying medium rare well.
Oh.
Chester saying well done.
Chili sang well done. Randall sang medium. Talon sang plus. Yanni sang medium. Brody sang well. Talon got it. The correct answer is plus. Wow. She was the only one to get it.
That was my first guess. Just kind of being a smartass. Yeah.
And then what happened?
I just thought, I don't know. Would you really? I imagine someone sitting in a restaurant saying the word plus.
Uh-huh.
And it just sounded like so unsophisticated.
Medium rare temp is considered 130 to 135, while medium is 140 to 145. So medium rare plus is aiming for 135 to 140. But according to an article in the Restaurant Manifesto, most kitchens will be annoyed if you order a steak to that level of specificity. They say it's a designation that should be only used in select steakhouses and not your local diner or Texas Roadhouse. Talon, tell us about what would happen when someone would order a medium rare plus.
Well, in my experience, it's been a stern conversation of tell them we don't...
With the customer.
We don't do that. No. Go back into the kitchen.
Oh.
Say, so-and-so, they want medium rare plus. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of stand there like and wait for them to respond. And they're like, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
So do you tell the customer that they don't get medium rare plus, or you just give it to them? And you're like, here it is, medium rare plus.
Yeah,
we did it.
Just for you. Yeah. You just kind of glaze over it unless they raise an eyebrow.
There you go. Well done, Brody. 9 correct answers. Couldn't come up with medium rare plus. What happens next is Brody gets to choose where the $500 from Meat Eater goes. Brody, what's it going to be?
Coloradans for responsible wildlife management.
What do they got going on over there right now?
They got a battle going on over people that are trying to attack various forms of hunting. So they need all the help they can get.
$500 going their way. Well done, Brody. Randall should have stuck with your joke answer of medium rare plus, and we'd be doing overtime right
But
now.
You know, had I gotten that last question right, then I would have been mad about question 9, and because it would have cost me my perfect game. But now the Fred Eichler question didn't cost me my perfect game. I wouldn't have gotten it anyway. So okay. I feel great. Brody didn't get a perfect game. I'm back on an even keel. Let's play another round.
Good for you, Randall. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.